about it? Never will. Jazzy, KJZY.
The holidays are a perfect time to reflect, to be thankful for what you have, the family you love, the friends you cherish, and for the blessings that will come. David and Melissa Conning wish you the hope, the joy, and the wonder of the holidays today and throughout the coming new year.
You're listening to a special New Year's Day presentation on Jazzy, Grandma's Old Radio, celebrating the golden age of radio, presented as a holiday gift from David and Melissa Conning and Jazzy 93.7. KJZY Sebastopol.
Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear.
Those thrilling days of yesteryear when we'd rush home from school so we wouldn't miss the secret message from Captain Midnight. How many of you still have your secret decoder? The biggest villain out to get Captain Midnight was the evil Ivan Shark. Shark did everything he could to get one of Captain Midnight's secret codographs. He tried arson, robbery, murder, everything but send in his dime and Ovaltine seal like the rest of us kids. From the middle 1940s, we hear now how Captain Midnight uses his secret codograph and his quick-thinking resourcefulness to get out of yet another tight situation with Ivan Shark and his band of cutthroats.
Captain! Now, on with the action-packed adventure, the return of Ivan Shark with Captain Midnight and the Secret Squadron. The tree in which the Secret Squadron had taken refuge crashed over into the swirling water. The Secret Squadron, disciplined and unafraid, even in this appalling situation, think first of the other members. As a result, all of them are safe for the time being. But how different is the behavior of the group of criminals whose raft is breaking up underneath them? Deliberately deserting one of their gang who has fallen overboard and who cannot swim, they disregard his cries.
Help! Help me! I can't swim!
And continue on towards the trees, their raft breaking up under the strain. The members of the secret squadron, Andy Maxson, came the closest to death, but even he's chipper now. Listen as he says, coughing, for he's still half full of water.
Boy, did I feel like a halted heifer caught there by my belt. Somehow, it got pulled around so I couldn't reach the buckle. Andy, I said, now you know how a muskie feels when it's on a hook.
Oh, how are you feeling, Chuck?
Oh, my head is making so much, Joyce. I'll feel perfectly okay in a couple of minutes.
A branch must have hit you. Or you hit a branch as you struck the water. Look at Lightning swimming around. He's actually enjoying himself. Thinks it's some kind of sport, new sport.
Yeah, he hasn't a scratch on him, sir.
Probably somehow he scrambled and jumped before he hit the water.
Hey, where's Polly? She flew off as we started to go. I saw her.
In one of those trees way over there. I heard her a moment or so ago.
And that's where we've got to swim for, kids. Those trees over there. They're closer to the cliff, and so they're probably on more solid ground. You feel fit enough to travel yet, Andy, if I give you a hand?
Give me a hand? Come on, I'll race you there, you old buzzard.
As the secret squadron swims slowly and steadily towards a more permanent leafy refuge, Ivan Shark's small, solidly tied raft drifts fast toward the island of the huge monster floundering on its edge. With a huge splash, the launching of a small yacht, another of the great beasts joins it as the edge crumbles under the rising tide. Ivan Shark, now paddling as desperately as the others, shouts,
"They're being carried around the island. We can only avoid those two monsters. Paddle for your lives. One, two.
Look at his tail, Father. Lashing like it must weigh half a ton.
Oh. Paddle. It's seen us. It's coming this way. Shoot at it, all of you. Aim for the eyes. Turn, you spawn of Satan. Turn. Its tail struck the raft."
And while Ivan Shark, Fury, and Gardo struggle in the water, swimming in panic away from their overturned raft, the secret squadron has reached its destination, and the members are talking. Listen.
Well, having counted heads, even Lightens, I find us all safe.
Yeah, even Polly's safe. Listen to her up there in that tree.
Hey, what's your cracker?
Oh, Polly.
He's probably hungry, poor bird.
If you want your hot dog, Hey, you can say that again, Polly.
How's Lightning?
Oh, he's having a wonderful time swimming around, sir. When he gets tired, he just rests his front paws on one of the branches and relaxes. He's okay.
Okay, now to contact Washington. Get going on your pocket locator check.
Shall we use the new Codograph, sir, or the old one?
The new Key-O-Matic, of course, Chuck.
Gee, I'm anxious to use it. It's so simple to work and yet so sort of mysterious.
Ask Major Steele to have an amphibian flown down right away.
Hey, Captain, my pocket locator's flashing on in. How?
Take down the message, Joyce, as Chuck gets it. Icky, you decode it.
Right away, sir. Hey, what can I write it down on?
On the back of your hand. Here, wait a minute. Here's an indelible pencil.
Gosh, this mermaid life sure is hard on paper. Just look at my notebook. Okay, Chuck, read it out.
Code F7. 10, 26, 15.
And a short time later, Icky decodes.
Message arrived. Old Codograph made obsolete. Key-O-Matic being sent out to all members. Anything else I can do? Signed, Steele.
Boy, there certainly is, isn't there, sir?
Yes, there is, Chuck. Ask Major Steele to have an amphibian flown down right away.
Oh, boy, well, I'd be glad to see that arrive.
Help Chuck code the message, Joyce. Use code B8.
Just a minute, Chuck, while I fix this Codograph. Gee, my knee, is this little key a slick idea? Okay, Chuck. 2, 9, 8, 7...
And in Washington, as Major Steele receives the message.
Send amphibian right away. Urgent. Important.
That's what the first phony message asked, Major Steele. The one we're pretty sure was from Ivan Shark.
Afraid this one is a phony too, Lieutenant?
Well, sir, I can't help being suspicious.
Lieutenant, you're forgetting that this was decoded on the new Key-O-Matic Codograph, aren't you? This one has to be on the level.
Oh, of course, sir.
Also, this one makes no mention of the two atomic scientists, so it's obviously been sent by a different person.
Yes. Major, I wonder what made Captain Midnight suddenly decide to have the new Key-O-Matic flown down to him. Oh, it's certainly lucky for all of us that he did.
One of the captain's brilliant hunches, probably.
Now I know why you never ignore them, sir.
I found, Lieutenant, that Captain Midnight's hunches are usually based on something very tangible. So, Lieutenant, see that the amphibian leaves at once.
Right away, sir.
One moment. As soon as you've seen about the amphibian, contact Captain Midnight and tell him it's on the way.
Yes, sir.
And a short time later, the lieutenant returns.
The amphibian is on its way, sir.
Good.
Major Steele.
Yes, Lieutenant.
Do you realize, sir, that the first message asking for an amphibian, the phony one, was an attempt on Shark's part to capture America's two leading atomic scientists?
I realize it only too well. I don't think the secret squadron ever came nearer to a real disaster.
Oh, that's for sure, sir.
The misspelling of one word saved us.
That and Ichabod Mudd's Key-O-Matic Codograph.
Meanwhile, Shark, Fury, and Gardo are swimming with swift, desperate strokes out from the island and away from the huge iguanodon that has capsized their raft. After a moment, Shark calls out,
Fury! Wait! Gardo! Stop! Stop, I say! Everything is all right.
Father! Are you sure?
Yes. In fact, we're better off than before. Look, our raft. Way out from the island.
But it's turned over. It's on its back, so to speak, boss.
I can see, you fool. But it's still floating. When that huge beast struck it, that tremendous blow, it pushed it way out into the stream. It did for us what we were trying to do ourselves.
But the boxes, Father. The boxes of jewels.
Huh? Well, Gardo?
Yeah, boss?
Were they firmly secured to the raft as I ordered?
Sure, boss. Sure. But the animal sure hit it a powerful wallop.
If they were securely tied on, then they are still attached. And if they weren't, Gardo, look at the sun, because you're seeing it for the last time.
Well, will Ivan Shark still find his boxes of gold and jewels intact? But tied now to what is the bottom of the overturned raft. And will the members of the secret squadron make Shark and Fury prisoners before the amphibian arrives? Don't miss tomorrow's thrill-packed adventure. Plan of attack.
Captain Midnight must have had a dozen different kinds of decoders during the years he was on the radio. I've still got a couple of them around. I remember quite often during the middle part of the show, the announcer would say, "Stay tuned to the end of the show for a secret message from Captain Midnight." So we'd stay tuned and just incidentally hear the commercials, which is really why they wanted us to stay tuned, and we'd write down the secret message numbers from Captain Midnight, 28, 6, 41, 32, and a whole long string of numbers. Then I'd get out my Codograph from my bottom drawer under the socks where I'd hidden it from my sister and decode the secret message. And this would take about 5 or 6 minutes. And the message usually said something like, "Tune in tomorrow," or "Drink Ovaltine." Well, keep comfortable with whatever you're drinking there and stay relaxed. You won't want to move a muscle because we're going to continue to turn time around as we hear Dick Tracy chasing two desperate characters in just a moment on Grandma's Old Radio.
KJZY 93.7.
Dick Tracy was a successful comic strip, so it just followed that he should go on the radio, like many of the other comic strip characters. Tracy was a very straight cop and brooked no nonsense from anyone. He was relentless in his pursuit of lawbreakers, but the criminals he chased on radio were of the more standard variety than the far-out characters in the comic strip, like Pruneface, Flat Top, and the other poor, deformed creatures who seemed to turn to a life of crime to even the score with a society that shunned them. Here from the early 40s is Dick Tracy matching wits with a man who is at least handsome enough to have a girlfriend, even though she... Well, let's listen, and you'll see what kind of a sweet young thing she is.
This is Dick Tracy on the case of the empty safe. Stand by for action.
Let's go, men.
This is Dick Tracy, protector of law and order. In yesterday's story, you saw how the evidence began to pile up, making Tracy sure that Spike Connolly was responsible for the dynamiting of the empty safe. You remember, too, how Sergeant Martin, while distributing posters of the description of Spike and his girlfriend, reported to Tracy his suspicions concerning the occupants of a certain house. Jumping into their car, Dick and Pat were soon there. While Dick rang the front doorbell, Pat went around to the rear to forestall any escape from that direction. Inside, Spike and Gert didn't know of Pat's whereabouts, made their way slowly toward the rear of the house. Today, Spike and Gert are almost at the back door. Dick is still ringing the front doorbell. Listen.
Just follow me, Gert. We'll get out this back door and beat it.
But they probably got cops all around the block. We're never going to get away with this, Spike.
Shut up and come in. Head for the back door.
Listen. They're surrounding the block.
Never mind that. Once you're around here, we can get the car out of the garage and give them a slip. Now, take it easy. I'm going to open the door. It's okay. Come on.
All right, not so fast, you two. Stand right where you are.
Oh, he's got...
Never mind that, sister. Just stay right where you are.
Now, look, mister, we ain't done nothing. We were just going...
Save that. I know who you both are. Now, stick out your hands.
Are you going to handcuff us?
Well, these aren't exactly pearl bracelets. Stick them out, I said.
Now, just a minute, mister, before you get funny with those handcuffs. Just who are you?
Oh, a wise guy, eh? Well, you'll find out that soon enough. No more fooling now. I haven't got any time to waste. Dick Tracy is around the front.
Dick Tracy?
Oh, yes. Oh, so you want to play that way, eh?
Well, here goes me, but... Oh.
Hit him, Gert.
Not this time.
Now, how do you like that, eh? You hit it up?
Oh.
Yeah, girl.
Come on, Spike. I knocked him out. I hit him with my shoe. Let's go.
Yeah. Head for the garage. I saw a car in there.
A break. The door wasn't locked.
Quick, get in. Now, this thing will only start.
Spike, we can't go out the front way. The cops.
Hang on.
Gee, Spike, we made it.
That's right, kid. I had to drive through the back of the garage or else go out the front.
They're after us.
Look out the back. Can you see them?
No, I can't see them. But that siren sounds closer.
We're going to take this next corner. Now, take another look.
We're okay. We're in the clear. I don't even hear the siren anymore.
Did I tell you, kid? I said we'd make it, didn't I?
We wouldn't have made it unless I hit that guy in the head with my shoe.
Ah, you were great, baby. You knocked him cold.
Yeah. Well, where are we going, Spike?
Well, I ain't decided yet. Gotta put a couple of miles between us and the cops. Too busy driving right now to think of anything else.
What are you stopping for, Spike?
I ain't stopping. Something's the matter with this car.
What? We're out of gas.
Shut up.
Oh. That's what it is. This bus didn't have any gas in it.
I'd better get out and take a look. Gas gauge seems to be busted.
Hurry up, Spike.
Give me time, will you? I don't think so. I only had a tank filled this morning. You did have it filled, didn't you?
Yeah, I had it filled right to the top.
Well, shut this thing off and come over and have a look. Maybe I can help you. Well, if you have a tank full of gas, maybe
ignition.
That's just what I was looking at when I lifted the hood. I don't know much about car engines myself.
Just step to one side and let me have a look under that hood. I've been fixing my own car since the days of the old King Lizzie.
Well, now, ain't that nice? Oh. Come on, Judge.
Gee, you knocked him cold.
Let me carry him over to the bushes.
Okay.
Oh. Then we'll take his car.
Far enough?
This'll be okay. I don't want him to be seen from the road. Now, come on. Come on, girl, will you? Come on.
How are you feeling, Pat?
Oh, boy, this head of mine feels as if it had stopped a Nazi shell. Wow. That dame certainly put everything she had behind that shoe. Look at the lump on the top of my head. Why, I can't even get my hat on this. Oh, wait till I lay hands on that pair again.
Oh, let's get back to the car. I want to contact headquarters.
They certainly made a sucker out of me. What do you think of that dame getting into the scrap? That's what fooled me. Where are the rest of the boys, Dick?
I sent them on a patrol. Driving through the back of the garage completely caught them flat-footed. Oh, here's the car, Pat.
Hey, Dick, isn't that our signal?
That's us, all right. Now turn up the amplifier. Inspector Tracy, go ahead.
Sergeant Ross speaking, Inspector.
Go ahead, Ross.
Flash just came in from the highway patrol. I think it may have bearing on your case.
Yes?
Alan Preston of 575 South Street reports that he stopped to help two motorists that seemed to have mechanical trouble with their car.
A man and a woman?
That's right. The minute he got the chance, the man slugged Preston, dragged him into the bushes and took his car. I've questioned Preston. The description of the man and woman tallies with your bulletin.
Any more details?
The license number of Preston's car was 4159-M, like in morning, with a black sedan, four-door, 1938 model.
Good work.
Here's something else that may help, Inspector. Just as Preston was coming to, he saw the car turn around and start back in a northeasterly direction. The man was driving. The woman was sitting alongside of him in the front seat.
Good. Either one of them armed?
Apparently not.
Thanks, Sergeant. Pat and I will take over. Keep all men on 24-hour duty. Have them stand by for instructions. And pass the word around to the rest of the cars. Have them converge toward Area B. That ought to take enough to cross their trail.
Yeah, I'll get right to it, Inspector. Good luck.
Now, let's go, Pat. You're well enough to drive?
Okay, Dick. You know, it's just that my head throbs a little. It'll soon be all right. Do you want to go direct on this highway, or shall we take the back roads?
Back roads, Pat. They won't stick to the highway. They'll know we'll have every man after them. Step on it. And get to the junction of this highway and number 6 as fast as you can.
No luck, Dick. Been over every back road of the way. No sign of them.
That doesn't mean they aren't around here somewhere. They have to be back. They can't just disappear.
Well, I'm beginning to think they can. You've seen 6 of the other cars, and they all say the same thing. No sign of them or the car. You know, I hope they might have trouble with that one, too.
Pull over, Pat. I want to check with the rest of the cars.
Okay.
Tracy, calling car 7. Come in, 7.
Car 7, go ahead, Inspector.
What's the report?
Nothing to report, Inspector. We're at number 14. No traces as yet.
Keep me advised.
Yes, sir.
Inspector Tracy, calling car 5. Come in, please.
Car 5, Inspector. I heard you talking to 7. My report's the same.
Okay, 5.
We'll keep you posted. Proceeding according to plan.
Inspector Tracy, calling car 6. Come in, please.
O'Connor in car 6. Heard your questions. We haven't got much, Inspector, but here it is. We questioned a farmer walking along the road. Said he thought he'd seen a car like the one we described with a man and woman in it, but couldn't be sure.
What direction was it going in?
Well, according to this man, it was proceeding in a northwesterly direction. And when last seen, was about 4 miles from the intersection of Middlebush Road and a highway.
Thanks, O'Connor. Pat and I will be right up there. The rest of you stand by. The rest of you stand by. That applies to all cars. That is all. Let's go, Pat.
Yep, I think I know just about where O'Connor meant. It's right up in the heart of the farming district.
I know, Pat. When we get up there, I think I'll do a little inquiring on my own. Strangers always attract attention in rural districts. We'll start questioning some of the next, and I'm willing to bet we'll soon run across a clue.
Hey, Dick, why don't we go ask that guy standing in front of that farmhouse?
That's just what I was going to do, Pat. Good afternoon, sir.
Howdy.
A nice day.
Could stand a little rain.
I thought you might be able to help us out. We're from headquarters.
Figured you was. Saw your car drive up.
We're trying to locate a man and a woman.
I haven't seen them. How do you know you haven't? Because I know a man and woman when I see one.
No, you misunderstand. This man and woman were in a car, a stolen car. We had information that they might have come this way. You see, these two are criminals. They're wanted by the law.
You sure you haven't seen any strangers around here? Now, listen, you we came
here. No use, Pat. Come on.
Yeah, but this guy...
Come on, Pat.
Okay. So, we'll try the next place and get the same kind of an answer. Now, if it had been me, I would have...
Behind these trees.
Now, what's all this about? I thought we were going to the next place and see if we could pick up Spike's trail.
We don't have to go to the next place. Spike and the girl are in the house we just left.
What?
That's right.
Well, tell me, how do you figure that out?
While I was talking to the farmer, he tipped me with a wink. They're there all right, Pat.
But why didn't he say so?
Probably Spike or the girl was holding a gun on him. I can't be sure of that, but mark my words, they're in there all right, and we have to get them out. Now, let's keep undercover and get back to the car. I want to contact all the other cars and have them block off every path or road in this area. This time, we're not going to miss.
You, farmer, get back in here. I'll let you have it with your own gun. You sure you didn't tip them off?
He couldn't, Spike. I heard every word he said. Anyhow, they've gone off.
Okay. But if they come back, this guy gets it with his shotgun.
Quietly making their way back to their car, Dick and Pat began contacting all the patrol cars and giving them instructions. Be sure to tune in tomorrow, same time, same station, for the adventures of Dick Tracy. This is George Gunn speaking. This is the Blue Network of the American Broadcasting Company.
Salvage tin to win. America needs tin and steel for canned foods and other vital war purposes. So here's what you should do. Every time you open a can of food, take off the label, then cut off the top and bottom of the can. Wash thoroughly and flatten the can. At regular intervals, turn the flattened cans over to your local salvage committee. Remember, salvaging tin cans is vital to victory.
In those days, salvaging was vital to victory. Today, it's vital to ecology. Things don't change a lot, really. We're going to change tapes now and then keep going back through the pages of radio history. A full and complete Henry Aldrich show is next when we return in just a few moments with more from Grandma's Old Radio.
Savoy, the home of sweet romance. Savoy, it wins you at a glance. Savoy gives happy feet a chance to dance. Your form just like a clinging vine. Your lips are warm and sweet as wine. Your cheeks are soft and close to mine. Divine. How my heart is singing while the band is swinging. Never tired of romping and stomping with you at the Savoy. What joy, a perfect holiday. Savoy, where we can glide and sway. Savoy, there let me romp away with you. Savoy, they let me romp away.